Okay, Avaisai, we're on Daf Samach 60A1, top of the page. Shemai Daf Samach Amud Aleph. So before we just said that everybody agrees that that's to say Beshamay and Beisola both agree that you can't sell a large amount of olives or grapes because it's obvious that that person will be producing these items in a state of tumah, so even Basil would agree you have to sell to somebody who's zohar in tumah. So the Gemara is making an assumption here that we all know that the heksher of grapes, of the wine that comes out of the grape juice, I should say, that comes out of the grapes, is certainly machsher the grape for Kabbalah's tumah min ha-tayra, as opposed to the olives, which when they start to sweat, they don't sweat olive oil at the very beginning. At the beginning, it's like this like watery substance that comes out of it. So the question is that initial watery excretion, does that have the same halacha like the olive oil itself, that it's machsherit, or not? So the Gemara right now is making a diuk that initial sweat, I'll call it the sweat of the olives, is also because it's in the same category as the grapes. So therefore, the assumption is that that's like that's the orais of the grapes. So to the oil, this initial heksher of the olives is also the orais. That's basically the Gemara's making the assumption. That's half the page over here. Okay, so my evet shal navim loy torahi isn't grapes min ha-tayra? Of course it is. Certainly it is. We've seen this kind of a format in the Yerushalmi many times. It's unusual. We're on 60A1. Les hadar pligi al Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't this argue with Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan amar k'shen sham mukatan chumrin. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a very interesting case. The case is there is some dough on the floor, let's say a little pile of dough, and there's a child who is holding on to a piece of dough. So now there's two possibilities. One is the child went over to the dough and yanked a piece of dough out of the larger pile, in which case the child, who is assumed to be tame, was metame that whole pile of dough. Or the child did not touch the dough at all. An adult came over and gave him a little piece of dough to play with, but the child indeed did not touch the dough at all. So, this is, let's see, what does it say over here? This is in Taras Paragimel Mishnah Ches. Rameyer says that the dough near the child is tar because we can assume that it was given to him by an adult. Chacham disagree. They say no. Since the child is near the dough, the nature of the child is to play with dough, we can assume that the child actually touched the dough in his tummy. So that's the machlokas. So Meir and the Chacham over there in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan is making a comment on that Mishnah, that when the Chachamim said that the dough is tummy, that was a chumra derabbanan. Okay? That's all you got to know. Let's have Dopligar Rav Yochanan. Doesn't this brisa contradict Rav Yochanan's statement? Because Rav Yochanan said, "Kishem sharmu katan chumrin." So now he's making a comparison. Just like when they said that the dough that the child was near is tameh, that was only chumrin. It was a chumrin drabbanon. Kach amru ma tonshol zaysim chumrin. So too the heksher of olives in a vat. And again, we're talking about where there's the initial sweating of the olives, which is a little bit of a watery substance, and therefore it might not be considered oil. To say that it is machsherit is also derabbanan. So that we have Rabbi Yochanan making a statement that indeed the initial heksher of zaysim and amatan is only derabbanan, not deraisa. So the Gemara is asking a question: Less how do plagal Rabbi Yochanan? Doesn't this, since we're comparing the anovim to the zaysim, and it sounds like just like anovim is deraisa, so zaysim is deraisa, doesn't that argue on Rabbi Yochanan, who said that it's only a chumra d'rabbanan. That's the Gemara's kasha. So my answer is Rav Chizkiya Amar, Rav Yoina b'shem Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Chizkiya said in the name of Rav Yirmiya, Azay, Ma Pligin, regarding what issue was Rav Yochanan and his Bar Plugta arguing about? That is to say, when did Rav Yochanan say that something was Drabbanan? He was not talking about Heksher. We thought he was talking about, in other words, when Rabbi Yochanan said, Kach Amu Matan Shal Zesum Chumen, we thought he was talking about Heksher. That's not correct. He was not referring to Heksher. Heksher La'ilam Hosei is Deoraisa. What did I mean when I said that the Matan is Drabbanan? That was talking about Chiburin. What's Chiburin? Chiburin is when you have a mass of food which is attached together, it's squished together. So the rule is usually like this. Usually the rule is
attached or squished.
Well, I'm going to say the din, and you'll see what I'm talking about. If it's attached in a way which is called neshicha means a bite, of course, and the idea is that when I pull them one piece apart from the rest of the body that's attached to, if it pulls out a piece together, schleps along a piece of the other thing, such as let's take a 7 mile market six pack, you know, of rolls, Rosendorf rolls, right? So when you pull it apart, a little piece of the challah comes along with it. So I'd call that nishicha. That's called biting. So that's called chibur, meaning that if you're tamei and you touch one, since it's so tightly, I called it squished or attached, in this sense, I only mean it in this sense.
Well, that's a little different because they're baked together, probably. They're not put together later.
Yeah, true enough. You're right. I mean, I'm not commenting on whether it's considered one. It may be separate. So let's just use our example that we're talking about. We're talking about dough. Let's use dough as an example. So you have two doughs, two separate doughs of challah that were stuck together. If when you pull them apart, one schleps some dough from the other, so then that would be considered neshicha, and therefore if you touched one dough, the other dough would become tummy. That's the araisa. But if it's not neshicha, it's called, what's the other terminology?
Well, the other example is figs.
Figs, yeah, I'm just trying to remember. What's the other thing? There's neshicha. What's the other terminology besides neshicha? Moch. So that's what he says. Lefi shabacha, makam, nisho, chibur. Everywhere in the Torah where something is stuck firmly together, it's an attachment which is called so strong that if they pull it apart, one piece comes off the other. That's called noshach. That's considered a chibur. Ma'och, whereas if they're just squashed together and pulling them apart would not schlep along in a piece of the other one, then that's not a chibur, right? The ka. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that's what the context of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. So in other words, midaraisa, neshichas v'chibur moch is not a chibur, and therefore if you touched, so if you had an olives is a case of moch. So if you had olives in the vat, and you pulled one olive out, so that if you touched one olive, it would not be chibur as far as tumma deraisa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, ka moch, afilu moch chibur, that there's a special chumra d'rabbanan that says that if you touch one olive, that the whole vat becomes tameh. Okay, so that was the context of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Lo'aylam, he holds, as far as heksher is concerned, that it's just like anavim, and therefore the oil that comes out of the initial oil that comes out of the olives is also d'oraisa, just like grapes and grape juice is d'oraisa, so is that also d'oraisa. When he says that it's only Drabban, he's referring to this idea that even though Moch is usually not a Chibur B'Yoraisa, but Drabban, it will be here. Okay, HaHeksheron, Tyra, and like I just said, but the Heksher of that initial sweating is considered D'Yoraisa. Okay. Now, on the bottom, he says the rationale. The rationale is since the purpose of placing the olives together in a vat is so that they should soften and become saturated with each other's oil. It serves as a unifying element through which the olives are regarded as biting each other. So in other words, it's a svara, midrabanan, to consider the mich mo'och like neshif. Okay. Next page. Samachama base. Kam Rabbi Yonah. So we had before on the previous page, we said Rabbi Yonah said, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, he said, Ma plikin b'chibun. What were they arguing that was talking about? Not Hekshur, was talking about whether it was considered one object or not for Chtumah. So Kam Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yonah wanted to say, find out, is this statement that I heard from Rabbi Yirmiyah really true? I'm a lie. He said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, At Amos Hadim also, did you really say this? He's trying to like verify this Dvar Torah that he heard, right? That Rabbi Yochanan meant that Chiburin was a Chumah D'Rabbanan, but Hekshar is really D'Oraisa. Amalei, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said back to him, in Mini, if you want to know my opinion, Afilo Heksherin, you want to know my personal opinion? I believe that even the Hekshar is also D'Rabbanan. If you really want to know the truth, right? Afilo Heksherin V'Hein Chumah. Both things are rabbinics. So now the problem is going to be, well, if you hold this rabbinics, so what are you going to be stuck with? The obvious question. The b'ris that we started off with, that it compared the Zaysim to the Anavim. That's the Gemara's going to, the Gemara before quoted this like in one or two words. Now the Gemara is going to repeat the question at length. So it almost takes up the rest of the page. For Hatoni Shavin, we learned that Rabbi Shammai and Beisel agree. American Kurdish shall keep them, we don't want to go to that. Ever shall another, but Martin shall say him. El Haver, let me show you some Matara, the Ever shall another, like Tarahi, isn't another. There are right, so certainly it is. With the Kavase Martin shall say some Tarahi, so isn't that the same thing with the olives that should be there right, so Micah don't. So then what can you now say? How can you, Rabbi Yirmiyah, say that it is only Drabbanan by the olives? So that's the question we'll ask. Is that clear? So the Gemara answers, Tiftar Kura Meir. The Braisa that says what? That says that it's the Braisa, that's going to come out like a Meir. Meir Omar Hamayol Kamashka. He says the olive water, and this is finally beginning the terminology, olive water, which is the fluid secreted by olives in the vat, is regarded as a mashka to be makshir min hatayro. So that's why that Brisa that compares the olives to the grapes, that's gonna he's just gonna say that's a Shitas Yachid. Okay? But Rabbi Yirmiyah is gonna go like the Shitas who argue under Meir, and they hold it's not their Brisa. Next. Now the Gemara is not gonna give us an alternative understanding of the Mishnah. When you read the Mishnah, we said Beis Shammai says, you can only sell it to people who are a chaver. And we saw Rav Fulda says, Rav chaver meant parush, the zohir min atumah. Very unusual that he changed the Mishnah, because when I read the Mishnah first, before I read Rav Fulda, I thought for sure we just were talking about a chaver who's makman ha-maisris. Well, that indeed is going to be the parish over here, Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, time with the Beis Shammai, ain't there a chaver liyus makazesim, elo lima aser. That the your only chaver should only sell somebody who takes maestras. So when it said chaver, in other words, I can sell it to a chaver, not because I'm worried about tuma. Tuma is not the issue. The issue is maestras. And therefore, I only sell it to a chaver who will only sell his stuff to someone who takes off maestras. Okay. The last thing here today, this is the last short thing on 60b2. Tznuim Beis Hillel, it said that the Tznuim, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, that the Tznuim of Beis Hillel, they were makbid, that they went ahead and they were machmir like Beis Shammai, and they also would only sell it to somebody who was Zohar and Tuma and Tyra. So then we're asked, Mahu Tznuim, what's this expression, the discreet ones? Kisheri, they're the most righteous. A righteous individual is called a discreet one. Footnotes here, if you're interested. Let's see, it says over here, of course, it's alluding to the Mishnah Nida, which records a stringency practiced by certain pious women. The Mishnah refers to these women as tsnuos on account of their piety. So we see a person who's meticulous in the performance of mitzvahs may be referred to as a discreet one. In some versions, it says shakosher kan shanina shakosher nikra tsnuah, that this Mishnah itself was, and that's basically it. So. Yeah, the previous notice that I wanted to tell you, I wanted to, the Chavis HaVagas over here on 6:8, righteous people are called discreet ones, as they possess the trait of humility, which is the root of all virtuous qualities. What do you think about it? Okay, we're going to stop here because the next lines are really tomorrow's daf, so we'll stop here.
You would think that Shera and Snua are different.